It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so this is a weird little mystery. I was watching a movie.
Okay.
It's an old 70s Italian vampire movie. Vaguely Elizabeth Bathory, I think, was sort of what they were ending up going for.
Okay. What they were going for.
It was a 70s Italian vampire movie. Okay. It was mostly terrible and violence and nudity. But I think that was the sort of story they were going for. And our main character was a researcher, I don't know, just a scholar, because it was set in the olden times, as it were. And he was a scholar, and he was looking into this particular artifact that he thought might be in this little place in Transylvania and all this. And he was talking with his friend about it. And his friend said, you know, let me know where you're going so that I can come find you if I need you or whatever. So whatever. Don't care. Then the movie, like, really starts, and, like, we're doing things, and guys riding on the horse really fast down trail. Lot of guys riding fast to the same exact music down these random roads in Transylvania, wearing the same outfits. And there's, like, three of them that all kind of look the same. And there's one who I think is our hero, and he goes to this castle, and he's talking to the lady he doesn't know is a vampire yet and all this stuff. And then, but then later, while he's there, there's somebody else who looks exactly like him who's, like, running through on the horse with the same outfit and the same music. I'm like, who is this? Is this the friend? I can't remember. They didn't look different enough for me to be able to tell. And then we get a third guy who does this, but I recognize sort of because he has this really creepy smile. Mm. And so there are various places where I'm like, who is that? And then he does the smile. I'm like, oh, it's Creepy Smile Guy. Mm. Creepy Smile Guy turns out to be unrelated. I eventually figure out, because our hero goes to this castle and hangs out with the woman who he doesn't know is a vampire, and then seduces her. Or she seduces. They get in bed together, and then he wakes up at the night, and like scary vampire shit happens. Whatever. And then the next day, dude shows up, looks exactly the same, and I'm like, wait, what? This is when I find out. Apparently, the guy and his friend actually twin brothers.
Mm.
I didn't know this. Movie didn't specify this. But now I'm like, so is it one actor or two actors? They only listed one at like top billing thing. And so I'm watching to see, and I just can't keep it's such a generic look. I can't keep him in my mind. But they're doing all the tricks. Like, first of all, they're essentially, for a bunch of the movie, they're never in the room at the same time.
Right.
And then we start doing stuff like, he finds his unconscious brother, and he picks him up. And it's really kind of funny, because the brother's still unconscious, and so, like, the wig's over his face, and you can't see his face. But his legs are moving. He climbs up the steps with him and things, but the wig's over his face. The very few times, like, they do a lot of, like, over the shoulder, so you're only seeing one guy.
Right.
And the very few times you do, it's sort of in profile, and I'm like, that clearly could be a split screen very easily. So I'm like, it's clearly one guy. And then the movie ends, and the credits roll. It's two guys. With different, like, that I don't think are related. One of them did not have an Italian name, and one of them did, and totally different last names. So,
well, did they mean that the person who doubled him when you didn't see his face?
I don't think so, because it was just had characters.
Huh.
So, the cool thing would be if they cast two guys as twins, because they were very close to looking alike, but in order to enhance the twin effect, they went for very obvious tropes of filmmaking that one does when one's playing. But not only would that be very meta and very clever, neither of those words can be used to describe that this is a cheap shit movie. Like, nothing about this movie is good. I find it hard to believe that that one thing they cleverly came up with. So then it just becomes coincidence?
Maybe they just didn't want you to notice how unlike twins they really were, and that's why they didn't show them together.
You might, that could be a thing. That could be a thing.
Because that is just, that would give it away.
Weird. But we, like I said, we did have face-to-face shots that I assumed were split screen.
And they looked the same?
Enough.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they weren't ever for super long. And actually, one of them, the guy kind of had makeup on and stuff, so it was hard to tell. But weird. Weird.
That is weird.
Thing. Otherwise, it was just standard crazy-ass movie that made no sense. It was pretty funny for all that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Only podcast in the world that loves you for you and not for your job, not for the fancy cars, the expensive vacations, not for your trust fund or your long pedigree. Your blue blood, your humanitarian efforts, your magazine covers, your collection of vintage plush toys, or even your love of macrame. But no, just for you.
Yep.
Yourself.
None of the rest of that stuff matters at all.
The macrame matters a little. But yeah, none of the rest of that matters. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 434.
Good job. For a second, I was worried you were going to give a different number, and I'm like, but then you told me the last one was 433. For us, it's just been a few minutes. What's his name, William, has now seen a couple more episodes of Joe Parra Talks to You. I think you're down to like two or three left.
Oh. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy and proud to be American. Really, I'm free.
Okay.
We used to sing that song in elementary school, and like, that's a high note if you're in like a young boy register.
Oh, yeah.
When you're like in sixth grade. So, yeah, you never get there. I'm proud to be American. Really, I'm free.
That's not even the highest note,
and
is it?
I won't forget the man that.
Isn't the up and stand up even higher?
It depends on how you sing it. They can be at the same level if you sing it wrong. To you, to find her. Oh, man. Okay. That song sounded just so generically positive. Like, yeah, we like this country when I was younger. And now I'm like, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll proudly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Song gives me very bad chills now.
Bad chills.
Bad chills.
Not good chills.
Not good chills. Ice cream cake gives me good chills. Yeah. That song, bad chills. Weirdly, Neil Diamond's Coming to America is still cool.
You like that
we
song?
We sang that one too.
I don't really know it. I mean, if I heard
but that song's a very pro-immigration song.
I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I everywhere know. Around the world, they're coming to America. No, my favorite thing about the song is it ends with just going, today! Like 12 times, getting quieter and quieter. And you're like, today. All and I think he even ends with, today.
All just in one day.
Right, yeah. Not,
they didn't come yesterday.
No.
Tomorrow's too late.
I think you're reading too much into this. The song is reporting on whether or not they are coming to America today. It is not, there is no implication that they didn't come yesterday and that they won't come tomorrow. We just, the song has a very narrow scope.
Of time.
Of time. It has a broad scope of distance everywhere around
the world.
Space
is broad, time is narrow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean.
They're coming from so far away.
Everywhere around the world.
Today they are.
Every time that flag's unfurled. That's weird causality there. It's like, oh, get the flag out of the garage. Okay. Oh, now they're coming to America. Okay, fold it up again. Uh-oh, I dropped it. Now they're coming to America again. Excuse me.
It probably wouldn't be a very good immigration plan, though. Just keep the flag folded up.
Yeah.
If you want them to stop coming to America.
That could be good, though. It would be a very easily controlled thing. You just open it. Come on, come on. Okay, that's enough. Now stop. Okay, come on a little more. All dependent on the fact, though, of figuring out which flag was that flag.
Yeah, and how much unfurling.
You just stand at the border with all the flags you can get, and you're like, unfurl. Nobody's coming. Okay, it's clearly not that one.
Next.
Unfurl. Hey, there's a guy. All right, good. This must be that flag. Okay, nobody else is coming. It might have been a coincidence, sir. All right, give me another flag. They keep coming from China. Not immigrants. Flags. They keep sending us boxes of more flags.
We have to find the right one.
Remember that from The Simpsons? There was a Simpsons Halloween episode where aliens pretended to be Bill Clinton and Bob Dole.
No.
Yes, it's where the classic phrase, "Don't blame me, I voted for Kodos," comes from. That's on bumper stickers and things like that. And that people who are sick of the American political system frequently use that line. Don't blame me, I voted for Kodos. But in it, yes, two aliens, Kang and Kodos, pretend to be Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. And at one point, I think the one pretending to be Bob Dole gets up there and says, "Abortions for everyone!" And they go, "Boo!" And he's like, "Oh, all right. No abortions for anyone!" And they go, "Boo!" And then he pauses and he goes, "Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others!" And they go, "Yay!" And some of the people have flags. And
yep.
And later Bob Dole gives the speech of, "We must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom." And everyone's like, "Yay!" And then at the end, Homer reveals that they're aliens. And they're like, "All right, you got it. We're aliens. But what are you going to do? It's a two-party system, people." And somebody says, "I think I'll vote for a third-party candidate." And they go, "Ha ha, go ahead, throw your vote away." And then Kang wins, and they take over, and they enslave everybody. And Homer says, "Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos."
Times have not changed.
No. Except nowadays, people would cheer for abortions for everyone, and other people would cheer for no abortions for anyone.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true. That is how it would be today.
In theory, the silent majority of Americans would cheer for abortions for some, miniature American flags for others. But the problem is, the fringe media is what tells me that the fringe media largely only reports on the extremes and that most people believe something in the middle. But I'm getting it from the fringe media, so how can I know if it's true or just a fringe belief that most of the country has a more moderate view?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's weird. Like, are we part of the fringe?
Are we?
I don't know, because I don't know which is which. I know I am not at all conservative. I know I am much more comfortable these days with the label progressive than I am with the label liberal. And I know that we elected Donald Trump president, and I was surprised. And ever since then, I don't know much else. I don't know who much, but I know I love you. Let me be all I need to know. Like, there was a long time.
You don't have
time,
to know how to use the bathroom.
There was a long time where I didn't know that every Aaron Neville song was Aaron Neville. Like, there were a lot of songs that I didn't know who the singer was and later found out was Aaron Neville. And I'm like, of course. How did I possibly think
it was somebody else?
It's kind of like being, oh, that's a Tiny Tim song? Like,
yeah, you
nobody
much know.
Sounds like Aaron. Like, there's a version of Stardust that was on the soundtrack to Rain Man, and I love it, and I, like, have it. Remember, I can do a pretty good imitation of the entire song, just like it sounds. Didn't realize it was Aaron Neville until a few years ago.
I don't even remember that. I've only seen that film once.
I've only seen that film once as well, but I bought that soundtrack and fell in love with that soundtrack. And got really into that song.
The Neville brothers were here in town one year. Man, that was awesome. Because they were at the Jazz Fest or whatever, and you could see them for free.
I feel like this was a while ago.
It was some time ago, but it was awesome. They were great.
Like in the 19-somethings?
Yeah, it was the 19-somethings.
So like 20 years ago or more.
Well, let me think. It would have had to been, I'm going to say, 95?
That was a long-ass time ago.
Yeah.
I recently, XKCD did this. I'm not as into XKCD anymore, but it's not hard to keep up with, so I still read it. But they did have one recently where somebody was complaining about millennials.
Okay.
Like, once they get out in the real world, they'll find it's not like they think it is. And the person with them says, there's only one problem. We've been complaining about millennials for 20 years. Millennials have been out of college for 2 decades. Millennials are literally right now going to colleges for their kids to, like, scope them out. They've been in the real world for a long time. They're like, no, millennials are college students. Like, no, millennials are parents with college student kids.
Yeah, I recently made acquaintance with a guy who just started college, and I asked him. I said, "Well, so you're not a millennial. You're like whatever they call
Generation Z
or whatever." He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's right."
Or generation sick of keeping track.
Yeah. So yeah, but people do think you're right. People have thought of millennials like for a long time.
This is why I just go with young people, and that's everyone younger than me.
Well, see, the thing about it is generations are funny things. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think Adam Ruins Everything has a thing about generations.
Yes, I think he gave a TED Talk or something about how generations aren't real.
Well, and that's partly true. I mean, everything he says is right in terms of that kind of thing. But you can get generational differences, as I've talked about before, based on a very different technology that a particular generation uses, or if there's some dramatic historical event. Because then things change as people get further and further away from the event.
But again, it comes in graduals, and it's not uniform.
And it also wears off.
Absolutely.
And before long, that whole generation thing doesn't thing.
Well,
anymore.
And it's because you say, like, oh, people who were born after, you know, the end of World War II. Well, there are some people who were born 3 days after the end of World War II,
right,
and
right,
4 days,
right,
and five. And so, and not all of them have the same experience,
that's
even
right,
the ones that were born on the same day.
Well, and yes, that's another thing to keep into consideration. Like, when people talk about the baby boomers, there probably is a group of people who had a very specific impact on the culture, say, in the, you know, 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
And those people were probably... A majority of them were probably born to people returning from the war or whatever, but not everybody in that cohort thought the same way
and,
or did the same thing
or
contributed to that cultural thing.
And you can do statistical analysis. You
yeah, yeah, right.
Like, people between this age and this age responded this way in surveys and things like that. But right. You can't say that people that age are like this.
Right, that's right.
Although, but I mean, you have to have some abstraction or you can't really have any data. But, like, it gets so useless to me because depending on who's doing the cutoff, I'm Gen X, Gen Y, a few people I would even fall under millennial, weirdly, which is odd because I was born in the 70s. But usually I'm sort of on the cusp between X and Y.
Sure.
And if you look at the, like, what people define as, like, what Gen X is like and what Gen... I really am sort of split.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I'm like, and there's a lot of people that were born in the same year as me. Like, that's...
Well, I think what...
Especially if you're going by, like, what TV shows did you watch as kids stuff. Yeah. I'm like, it's all over the place.
Yeah,
there are some solidly 80s things I watch. There are some solidly 90s things I watch. There are some solidly syndicated shit from the 70s watched a lot of.
To me, the important aspects are a combination of technology and distance from World War II. There's sort of a those two things overlap somehow. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, like, for my dad, television was the thing.
Yeah.
Technology-wise, TV was the thing. And he was also born right before the war ended. You know, so he's growing up and the, you know, he doesn't, of course, he's not, he senses a pretty clear difference between his cohort and the people who were alive during the war.
Yeah.
And people who were alive during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, too. But when I was growing up, there were console video games and there was cable TV. And that was a very different thing from my dad just growing up with television.
Yes.
And then my wife's kids, you know, having internet and a lot of kids had phones growing up, too. That's a very different experience. But also being further away from World War II and then 9/11 being a bigger thing.
Yeah.
So these things do contribute to a little bit of generational.
But it can be very
dissonance.
Hard to. My grandparents, my maternal grandparents, were absolutely like teenagers and young adults during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They do not match any description that people give of Great Depression people because they were fairly privileged. They were in college during the Great Depression and they were fairly wealthy fairly quickly. And so they don't match any of the common things of the mindset of Great Depression people at all. I was born in the era where cable TV really took off. And I never had cable TV in my home.
Yeah, we didn't either.
So that was
all my
never
friends
a
did,
thing.
But we didn't.
Meanwhile, all my friends had cable TV. I didn't. But meanwhile, compared to many people of my age at the time, I got into PCs way earlier.
See, right, yeah.
And I was like, then what? So many things, I'm all
that's
off
right,
the
that's
map.
Right, that's right.
My father was born during World War II. Like, nothing about his experience that, as he has shared with me, has jack to do with that. Because he was in the army between wars. He was not. I think it was post Korea, but maybe it was pre Korea. He was in occupied Germany after World War II.
Sure.
So like he's in the army, but like he never experienced combat or anything like that, which is weird because history has taught me that every generation had a war, and so if you weren't in World War II, it greatly affected your life, and if not that, then you were of the age that you were in Korea, and if not that, then you were in Vietnam. And no, my dad was in the army, but he was in between those. So like we would forget that he was in the army.
Because
he was in like the one spot that it wasn't that big a deal, but he's not the only one. I mean,
no, that's right. That's right. My grandparents, neither of my grandfathers served in anything. The timing of the age and stuff was just right, so they didn't have to sign up for a draft or anything. Now my dad was drafted for Vietnam, but. He didn't pass a physical or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's big guy. Maybe he was just too big or something. I don't remember. I've talked to him about it before, and I don't know if he's clear on He went and he went and did the physical and everything. I don't think he's clear on why
they
didn't
like,
take him.
You too ugly to be in the army. Get
well,
out.
I'm pretty sure they didn't have uniforms that would fit him. I'm quite sure of that. But
sew them together.
But then again, they it seemed like they were taking everybody. So, but no. So he didn't go. I have to go pretty far back to find a relative on either side of my family who served in the military, like Revolutionary War.
My grandfather,
one Civil War person,
would have, but instead, because he was an expert in chemistry, he had a PhD in chemistry, he basically taught naval submarine commanders how to use some particular chemical process that would help you navigate in the waters and whatever. So he spent the war in like San Francisco.
How interesting.
Doing that kind of stuff. So he was never in the war. My brother basically hit the age at which he could be drafted just late enough to not go. Like, my mom was legit worried. My mom was preparing to disappear to Canada with him in the night.
Wow.
Which, given she's his stepchild, I'm not sure how his mother would have taken that. But, yeah, so he was just there. And then I mean, you know, I'm still... You don't register with Selective Service anymore, do you?
Well, I did.
Did your kids, though, when they turned 18?
I'm trying to think. I don't know, because it still would have been just the boys.
Yeah.
And they didn't live here by that time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. When they, because 18, because I when I was younger, they had TV commercials about it.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was just about like it's a thing you have to do. Make sure you do it. I think it was many years later before I thought back and was like, oh, that was so they could draft me.
Right. Yeah. So you like did register? Never,
I did. Yeah, I had a little card that I was supposed to carry in my wallet, and I think I did for many years.
Oh yeah, I wonder where my card went.
Yeah.
Mm. Man. We're both past the age though now, right? Isn't it 40? Something?
Well, in theory, it's wouldn't happen anyway now, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know. They like to change those. If they need more soldiers, they will adjust the years so that you can get in. But no, I think we're pretty safe.
I remember
I've got enough things wrong with me that there's no chance.
I remember when 9/11 happened.
Also, I wouldn't do it anyway.
And I was so upset because I was afraid that, I mean, the oldest boy was 8 years old. And I was worried about, you know, it's going to war and maybe he'd get drafted or whatever. And there were some people who thought, but he's only eight. And I remember telling them, this is how this works. You know,
yeah,
wars
yeah.
can go for a long time and then one can lead to another. And, you know, it turns out I was right. I mean, we're still in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We're still... We haven't had a draft. I was wrong about that, thank goodness. But I knew that the conflict could be protracted given this, you know, terrorism and all this ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that really got me was when Bush, you know, said that, you know, we were going to go after terrorists in any country that harbors them or whatever. I mean, to me, that was basically saying, it's war now, forever. You know, because how do you beat terrorists?
You know?
And... when you say we're going to defeat terrorists in any country that harbors them, that's a pretty easy bar to get over, you know?
Yep.
Oh, France has terrorists when harboring terrorists. What?
Well, and the war on terror is still going. But to be honest, the war on drugs is still going.
Well, that's true, too. That's true.
We're always at war at something. Oh. Yep. Remember when war was the only thing we had to worry about from our stupid president? War and poorly thought through tax cuts?
Well.
Oh, I miss those days.
Yeah, it's quite a deal. I mean, the world is so different. I mean, I know in some ways it's the same. I'm constantly telling people who say it's different, like with the media, people say it's different. Well, no, it's not really. You're just noticing it more. It's just more noticeable to you. A lot of media things have been that way for years.
Well, and despite all of our warnings and attempts, including from me, we're all normalizing it now.
Well, yeah.
And I'm feeling it too. Like, I'm like, no, it's just the same shit, different day. The latest being the 17th woman has come forward with a credible accusation of sexual assault against the president. And literally every member of Congress that has been questioned about it is like, yeah, I don't really know anything about it. I'm working on other stuff, and same shit, different day. We're at the point where we're like, yeah, of course, no, he's a sexual predator. We know that. We can't do anything about that.
Well, and the whole tweeting thing, I mean, yeah. It's like, it's just unbelievable. I mean, that is so different than how things were. And I, like you said, I think people are not even thinking about that anymore.
I'm at the point where I just want it to be over.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't even care what he does. And a little part of me is like, you know, maybe he gets a second term. I just am so looking forward to whatever damage is done or not, the day when I know he won't be president anymore and I can stop thinking about him for the rest of my life.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
I'm at the point where I'm numb enough that I'm not even, like, scared that he's going to get a second term. I will be very unhappy about it. But I'm just like, then I'll wait another 4 years. But then it has to be done because he can't do it again.
Right.
That's a thing. So I'm like, there's an end, and it may be 6 goddamn years away. But I'm like, after that, I no longer have to ever think about him in my life.
What do you
That's
think,
beautiful.
What do you think it's going to be? What's the news going to do without him? Because
I don't know, the news got along fine without him before.
No, they didn't, because they're part of the reason we got him in the first place. I mean, the news has always needed him or someone like him. It was always going down the wrong path. I mean, Trump is a symptom of something bigger. He's not.
He's not the disease. I absolutely agree.
So when he's gone, someone else is going to have to take his place,
but,
and it's going to be terrible.
Before he was here, there were other people who held that place.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Like, here's the thing. I don't think fundamentally anything has changed about news since he took office, with the exception that there is now an animosity between the government and most news. Most journalists.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the behavior of journalists to me seems the same. So, yes, they'll pick someone else or something else, but they'll still do this shit.
He does take up more bandwidth. I mean, before it wasn't just one person occupying that space. It was lots of people, and it would turn over.
Well, so maybe that'll happen again. But, I mean,
I suppose.
The behavior's not different. I will pay a lot less attention.
Yeah. Let me just ask this, and you can just say yes or no. We don't have to talk about it. Did you watch the presidential debate?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Which, I mean, should be self-evident.
Why?
Let me put it this way. Why would you watch it?
Why would I watch it?
Why would anyone watch it?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean,
Did you watch it?
No, I'm not a Democrat. I don't care. But I thought you being
I would watch it? I think I am a registered Democrat.
Okay, well, I just thought maybe you
I might be a registered independent. I don't know. I'm one of those.
Oh, okay. Well, but I thought you were a registered Democrat who was thinking of maybe participating in the caucus thing? Or
no, never.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
We've discussed this many times.
Yes, we have. You're right. I was thinking about someone else, I think.
the one upshot about this for me, and it doesn't help because I still am bombarded with stuff about the candidates, is I have nothing to do this election except potentially send money to people.
Okay.
Which, again, I will wait until after the Democratic National Convention.
Why am I thinking that? Did you caucus last? Have you ever
caucused?
I have
never caucused.
Who am I thinking of then?
Oh.
Has Trish caucused?
Trish caucuses most times.
That's what I'm thinking of then. I'm thinking of Trish.
I've never caucused. I won't caucus. And I cannot imagine a scenario in which I'm not voting for whoever the Democratic candidate is.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so it doesn't really matter.
I cannot come up with a person that I would rather have Donald Trump, or that is so close to as bad as him that I'm willing to go third party.
Yeah,
it's
well.
Not. I'll put it this way. I am not super happy with Joe Biden right now. I am voting for him in a second if he's the Democratic nomination.
Do you think that'll happen? Or just too early to tell.
Well, and that's a related thing. Even if I was going to caucus, I don't think I'd be bothering with this shit now, because all this shit is made up right now.
Yeah.
Like, some of these people, in a few months, you will never hear from them again. Whatever we're all talking about right now is probably not what we're going to be talking about closer to time.
Sure.
A lot of candidates, it's already happening, will do complete 180s on certain positions before too long.
But there's some huge issues being talked about, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
some
enormous.
Of which candidates are doing huge 180s on already.
Okay.
Biden has gone 2 or 3 times on the Hyde Amendment. Yes,
back
no,
back
yes,
forth?
No.
Huh.
I think he's pretty strongly no now, because the world has collectively said, dude, you're running on a Democratic platform in 2019. You have to be against the Hyde Amendment. And he's like, oh, okay.
Okay, sure. And I still
and
can't
that's
touch
the thing
people,
is,
right?
I am not happy with Joe Biden for a lot of reasons. I do not want him to get that. He will be a billion times better president than Trump was.
But you're not. There aren't certain policies that you are like really excited about with certain politicians. Maybe.
Oh no. Well, and that just goes back to the fact that anything they're saying doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what happens.
Well, that's That's true.
Always the
case. I get it. Sure.
I don't believe any candidate currently running, if they make it to the White House, will achieve reparations of any sort.
Okay.
At all. I don't believe any candidate currently in position will be able to substantively expand access to abortion. I don't believe anyone currently in the position. Well, I think they all have equal position of being able to pull off decent healthcare reform.
Okay.
And, yeah, nothing else they talk about do I necessarily even believe they believe.
I see.
And it also doesn't matter that much. The president doesn't have that much power, which is what our president has found out.
That's right.
The hard way, which is why he keeps throwing temper tantrums and stealing the ball and going home and shit like this. Like, currently, because the Supreme Court didn't go the way he wanted with the citizenship question, currently threatening to delay the 2020
yes,
census until
that.
A Supreme Court justice dies so he can put in another conservative one, which he then thinks will magically grant him that citizenship thing.
I was talking to Jazz about this earlier today. And again, this is 4th of July for everybody else, but this is a week before 4th of July. We were talking about this because I was actually confused about the citizenship thing. And as a genealogist, I've looked at a lot of censuses, you know, and they change what they ask and whatever.
Censorinos.
And I at first I couldn't really, until I was talking to her, I couldn't really recall them asking a citizenship question on the censuses. If you go back far enough, all you have on a census is a head of household and, hash marks of how many people live in that person. And there's also, you can also figure out their age bucket, so you know that there were 3 males between 5 and 10 or something, and they were whatever. And then they also counted slaves and things like that. If you go back far enough, you have to get to like 1850 to get everybody's name and a few other things. What I'd forgotten until I was talking to her was that you don't really get a citizenship question. You get it in 1820, I guess, is the first time they ask if you're a naturalized citizen or not. And in 1850, there's a space where it shows where you were born, and if it's another country, obviously you're an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I think, on one census, I don't remember which one, where your parents were born. They wanted to know that. But the reason I was confused about it was because I didn't know if they were counting non-citizens, because the whole point of the census, as we all know, is to figure out how many representatives are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, not just that, but yes.
Well, that's the main constitutional reason, and
there's a lot of budgetary things involved too and stuff. But yeah,
there is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm more concerned with the ramifications of current censuses than I am of what they.
So
did
I was talking to her
century.
About that, and then she talked about how a lot of, you know, how non-citizens pay taxes, which I didn't even think about that. Of course they do. I mean,
oh, has this never come up before? Yeah.
I just never thought about it.
They pay more taxes. I mean, the common ones is just sales taxes and things like that. But also, frequently, they have a Social Security number because they
file for
things and
yeah.
they pay into that.
Well, like,
and regardless, if they're, I mean, if they're in the system, they're getting money taken out for taxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Social Security even.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, our friend Gert from Belgium, who recently was naturalized, well, he lived here for
yep.
you know 20 years or something, and he worked and he had money taken out of his check just like everybody yep. else. So and no taxation without representation. He couldn't vote, but he should be counted. But it just didn't ever occur to me any of that. Like, you mean they're counting people who aren't citizens? Well, sure they are, especially if they're, you know, if they have visas or whatever. So so when this whole thing was brought up about the citizenship question, the only concern I had about it was that the census shouldn't be used as a de facto register for foreign-born people. Or,
yes.
Or, you know, we shouldn't allow that.
Absolutely.
But it did make sense that we would know which people were citizens and which weren't for other purposes. So I was trying to think of, you know, how would it be done so that it would still serve the purposes of the census, but not turn into a de facto register. But I guess they don't, like everyone's saying, they just don't need to ask, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't broke before.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only arguments they seem to put forth is as related to the crisis of illegal immigration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the reason why the Supreme Court didn't get rid of the block on the question. They didn't say, like, no, we should not have this. They said, the argument you've given is bullshit.
Yeah, right.
We're not saying there's not a reason. We're saying the shit you told us is dumb.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, so I didn't understand any of that until I talked to Jazz about today, and then it's just a whole bunch of stuff I never even thought about before.
And the census is used for a lot of things.
It is,
representation
that's right,
these
it is.
Days.
It is, that's true.
And
important things.
Yeah, and just basic, I mean, like I said, a lot of budgetary things which determine just like infrastructure things in which the number of bodies is what you need, not the number of citizens.
And another important thing it's used for, like, I believe it's the census data that people primarily use for the wage gap discussion.
Oh, okay.
Which unfortunately seems like everybody's getting wrong. The wage gap data is from a census where they found that that there was this that for year round full time work, so not if you're a teacher, that's not in there. Mm-hmm. If you're a construction worker, you know, and you have to take time off, so it's year round full time work, women were making 70 cents on the dollar or something, compared 71 or 70 cents compared to men. It seems like you've got people on both sides of the political spectrum but don't seem to understand what that number represents. What it represents is that that number is not made up of 50% men and 50% women. Men are overrepresented in that statistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest reasons women make less money than men, it's not so much that if you walk into a random business and you find two people who have the same job description, that the woman's going to be making less than the man for no apparent reason. It's more about how women are not very well represented in full-time year-round work, which is what everybody thinks of as what a job is, right? Women are overrepresented in seasonal or part-time work. That's the thing. That's what's mostly responsible for the pay gap. And the thing is, the conservatives will mostly say, well, that's because they make different choices than men, to have children or to be teachers. And it's like, what a bunch of malarkey. No, there's definite systemic things.
Yeah.
They're steering women toward lower paying jobs than men.
I don't know that I'd agree that is the most significant
that's
one,
what
but there's
that,
several, but the, most of them all point to systemic
that,
sexism.
That's what that statistic
yeah.
means.
There's a lot of other factors involving corporate hierarchy.
Well, yeah, but
and ones involving salary negotiation.
Yes.
Like
but a lot of that stuff is harder to measure. Yeah. Everybody goes back to that stat, but that statistic is about women being underrepresented in year-round full-time work. Other things, like you were mentioning, are also true, but the statistics on those are shakier. But even though I think they're right, I think, you know, when people talk about cultural problems with women asking for raises, men are more likely to do it than women. I don't know if there's any solid research about that. Mm. I mean, I've seen things that seem pretty good, but anecdotally, a lot of women I've known say that's true. And I've observed it many times. I think that is kind of true.
I get tired. I'm very big on numbers, and I get tired of people just ignoring them, because that's all the immigration crisis. I'm like, literally no data agrees with you at all on any of the claims you're making about the problem of immigrants. Zero data of any of it anywhere agrees with you. You are making shit up.
It kind of blows your, you know.
It doesn't blow my mind anymore. It just makes me want to mass murder.
It's tiring. It is. And it's frustrating.
And it makes me dehumanize large chunks of the population. It makes me say, you know what? Let's kill off a huge swath of people because they suck too bad to live.
Well, the issue is that...
I get there with anti-vaxxers, too.
Most of the people who are disseminating this information either don't even really believe it, or they don't care one way or the other. It's just all political theater.
Or they've had their own unique experience that they think is universal.
Not usually the people at the top, though. I mean,
No. But there's a lot of people not at the top who are dispersing this information.
Yeah, I suppose.
I go back to Melcher Dallas, talk to people. I have a feeling you would run into a lot of people not super high up dispersing that information.
Not sure, though, because recently I was in Knoxville, which is the county seat of Marion County. It's only about, you know, 15 miles away from where I live. I'm sitting in a Hy-Vee parking lot, and, you know, 40 years ago, if I'd been sitting in a Hy-Vee parking lot in Knoxville, I would have seen nothing but white people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that day. I saw there was an Asian woman that came. She was parked right across. There was an African-American woman that was parked just on the other side. Latino people are pretty frequently seen in Knoxville now. It's like, it was almost like being in Iowa City, and you know how diverse Iowa City is compared to the rest of Iowa.
Yes.
And I thought, this is all right. This is nice.
That is undeniably good stuff. It also doesn't tell you anything concrete about the diversity of Knoxville. And even if it did, it doesn't tell you anything concrete about the political leanings of Knoxville.
It doesn't tell me anything one way or the other.
Exactly.
But it does tell me, one thing it does tell me is that people who used to not have to negotiate understanding people different than them now do have
to. No, it's 100% a good thing.
To some degree, they do have to. And I think that's positive.
I was in a restaurant yesterday, and two Asian gentlemen came in with a baby in a car seat thing. And I was like, I wonder what their story is. And I realized that every version of it I liked. I was like, maybe they're a gay couple with their kid. That's cool. Maybe it's a dad who's actually watching his baby going out with his friend to have lunch, and his friend is also cool with the fact that he has his baby here. Yeah. You know, maybe it's two uncles who said, let's take our nephew for the day and give his parents a break or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just every version. I'm just like,
cool, yeah.
Two men hanging out together and taking care of a baby. There's nothing I don't like about that. Like, made me happy enough that one of them was a little bit androgynous, and it seemed too good to be true enough that I spent a long time. I'm like, is that really a dude? Is that? And he happened to be the one who was carrying the car seat too.
Sure,
I'm like,
is this
no, it's both guys. Awesome. All right, draw a thing.
Okay.
You know that or suffer the wrath of bears versus babies.
I saw that. Bears versus babies.
From the makers of Exploding Kittens.
Azurtalon.
Seriously, 2 weeks. It's just Azurtalon.
Who calls us?
Help me out, people. You need to write in.
Hostos.
Hosto. Hello.
O-E-S. O-S-T-O-E-S.
Calling us ho.
What's the best sketch comedy show?
Oh. That's tough.
That is tough, because a lot of them are pretty good.
Gun to my head, it's Mitchell and Webb. Key and Peele with a close second.
Pretty good. Those guys are
but
good.
Sketch shows are often very much a product of their time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
like, In Living Color was amazing, and now it can be very tricky to watch.
What about, like, Kids in the Hall? Or
I, again, not having cable, didn't watch a lot of Kids in the
Hall.
Well,
I didn't watch it on cable.
I've seen later some. I haven't seen a ton. Like it okay. It never really spoke. I mean, it's good. It's good. It's definitely in the good. I have the good sketch shows and the bad sketch shows. It's definitely in the good ones. Monty Python's Flying Circus is probably my favorite Monty Python stuff. I like it better than the movies.
But
again, that may be because of the sketch thing, because like, they have a joke, and it's funny, and it's only 5 minutes, and then you move on to something else.
But it seems like with Monty Python, probably more than something like, say, In Living Color, each generation discovers it again and likes it.
Yeah.
Do you think...
Well, then there's SNL that completely changes... its vibe over periods
of
time. And so you can't really say I like SNL or I don't like SNL because it has been many different shows.
It's also live, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, that gives it a disadvantage to the other things in a way.
Yeah.
So you have to give it a pass in a lot of ways.
Fry and Laurie, very old, very much of its time, but that was very funny. There were a lot of good British ones. I've talked before about Goodness Gracious Me. I think that suffers from the same thing In Living Color does, where it was talking about race in the 90s, which was great because it needed to happen, and now looks very retro.
Yeah.
But was great at the time. But yeah, I really like Mitchell and Webb stuff, and I really like Key and Peele stuff. So those are my big ones. There is a show, and unfortunately, it was on IFC, and I couldn't ever find out when it was on and record it, and now I don't have IFC, and it's not streaming like anywhere else except, I think, one streaming service I've never even heard of. But there's an all-female show called Baroness Von Sketch Show on IFC, and I'm very curious to see that.
That sounds pretty good.
It does, and it looked good. IFC also did Birthday Boys for a while, which was Bob Odenkirk's thing.
Oh.
That was, and then the Whitest Kids You Know was there too. I get bored when it's just a bunch of young white men.
I do too.
That being said, I did say Mitchell and Webb, but like they had Olivia Colman on there and other white men. All right, so there's that. But I don't know. I just think that one was really clever. Those are my go-tos, I think. I don't know how much sketch comedy you've looked at in your life.
Me?
Yes.
I'm familiar with many of the ones you mentioned, not all of them. It's kind of funny. I mean, you'd think that would be my jam. I mean, I like variety stuff. And I have liked Monty Python, for example.
Did you watch the Laugh-In anniversary thing on Netflix?
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. So what is it? The 50th anniversary of Laugh-In or something?
Could be.
And so Netflix did a special.
Oh.
If you liked Laugh-In, I encourage you to watch it. It's not long. It's like an hour or something.
I was a kid, so it's hard to... I mean, I liked it, but how did I know?
Bizarre. because they brought back everyone they could, which is...
Goldie Hawn?
No, except Goldie. They couldn't get Goldie for some reason.
Oh.
It's Joanne Worley, Ruth Buzzy, yeah. Lily Tomlin... Everyone else is dead.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought Henry Gibson was still alive, but I think he may have died a few years ago. And then they replaced them with just current people doing a lot of the same shtick. and just like everybody's in it, and they're talking about all the people, and there are some that I'm like, crap, I am not interested in seeing them, and like, and it's fine because they were literally in a quick thing where they said two lines or whatever, and then like, it gets weird because the official hosts are Neil Patrick Harris and Tiffany Haddish, and there is a bit near the end where she comes out on stage by herself and starts singing a variant of I Will Survive that is largely about how she's been getting drunk backstage and is now going to do whatever the fuck she wants, that I believe is legit. Like, the entire thing is this weird combination of people who love laughing, having fun honoring it, but just in, like, not in a very serious way, just having fun riffing on it and remembering about it, combined with people just phoning it in like you wouldn't believe. And I think it's trying to capture that vibe of improv that was in Laugh-In,
sure,
where they would crack and they would, or they would say other things and throw them in. And so it's really bizarre.
So Haddish and Harris,
yes,
were they doing were they doing bits like shoot, I just had their names and I forgot.
Ronan Martin.
Yeah, Ronan Martin.
A little bit of that. They also did retrospective, like, montages of things and stuff. Oh, okay. Like that. The one that they hit a lot was they did the cocktail party one. And they would have fun with that because they would intersperse from the original and then back to current.
Mm.
And so they would have fun with that. And, yeah, then they would just, like, focus on specific characters or specific bits. And a weird thing, Michael Rapaport, who I fucking hate, comes out, I think was talking about marijuana and, like, references to it in the show for a little bit, and then Snoop Dogg came out and also talked about it, and they kind of fucked around for a minute and then left and, like, never were back on the show. It's bizarre, huh. But it is a fun, it is worth watching, like, if you liked Laugh-In, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that, and, you know.
So, how did you see Laugh-In? I mean, it was done by the time you were coming up, right?
Yes. I didn't watch. I watched a little bit in syndication. Mostly, honestly, I was at the age, I watched Hee Haw and I watched Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, I watched those things, too.
Which is funny, because Laugh-In makes a lot of fun of how Hee Haw just ripped them off. but no, a while back when I finally did have cable, there was a very lesser-known cable channel called Trio. And it ran reruns of Laugh-In at like 6 in the morning. So when I was getting ready, I would watch it. Mm. And I loved it.
Mm.
And I loved watching all, like, so many celebrities before. I knew, like, a young Robert Culp, who apparently had an also kind of famous young Asian wife that, like, didn't speak English super great.
I don't remember.
And,
that.
Like, they were a team, like, they both were on the show, and like Sonny and Cher
wow.
were on there.
Yeah, Sonny and Cher, yeah.
Nipsey Russell on
yep,
there.
Yep.
Weird shit.
Flip Wilson.
That I'm like, well, and just
Wilson
baby,
was on there once.
baby.
He had his own show.
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Like, and I absolutely developed a crush on Judy Carne. Huge. And so then I would, like, look into the more. Judy Carne, now, admittedly, this is an honor that she shares with, like, 20 other women. But Judy Carne, at one point, was married to Burt Reynolds.
I did not know that.
Right?
Huh.
Absolutely weird. And then there's shit, because, like, Goldie left the show, and that's where they brought in Lily Tomlin. She was essentially a Goldie Hawn replacement.
Oh.
And then she came back and hosted a couple of times after she was a big name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was weird. Yeah, Lily Tomlin came late to the show. She was in the last few seasons of it. And she was very much young sex appeal and stuff at the time.
Hmm.
Which, I'm not, I mean, don't get me wrong, she looked good. But I was, like, never used to thinking of her that way. And so that was just weird for me. And
that was just weird for you.
So yeah, to me, I love it. It's again, it's the cultural artifact thing. I love looking, like, those shows are very situated in their time,
it's
and so it's fun to watch that.
Yeah.
All right, it's getting hot, and I'm tired of this, and I want you to go out of my face. So happy 4th of July! Also, I think Amazon Prime has Laugh-In, so go watch it. I think you can do it for free if you're Prime. I am currently watching, as I'm about halfway done, a documentary on the World of Darkness by White Wolf, like Vampire, the Masquerade, and all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, there's a documentary?
Yes.
That sounds interesting.
It really is.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
And it's a lot of back padding.
Okay, yeah.
Which happens.
I can see that.
But, and it's very cringy to me because I was into that. Like, I was there, like, on the front lines of 1991. My friends come over to my house. We're just about to start high school in the fall. And they're like, we found this new RPG. You play the vampire. And I was like, tell me more. And, like, things happen. And I was in the mid-90s playing LARP on campus.
I graduated from college in 91.
All this shit is happening. So I was very heavy into this. And it's a little cringy now to remember how heavy I was into this. But it had such a huge impact. I mean, absolute game changer, pardon the pun, for role-playing games, but had a major impact on pulp culture in the 90s.
Sure.
Like, so, I mean, they get credit for being a big deal.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see this, and it's interesting for me to sort of remember things from it. But yeah, it's free for Amazon Prime, too. And it's just called World of Darkness, the documentary.
They delivered some quality world building is really
yes.
what they did.
And changed the face of role-playing games in a lot of ways. And changed the demographics of role-playing games. In particular, women show up. World of Darkness and Vampire is where you start actually getting player demographics that are close to 50% women.
Huh.
And that had never happened before.
Really? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Particularly LARP. LARP did it for some reason.
Where are you seeing this documentary?
Amazon Prime. Mm. It's free on Amazon and just World of Darkness.
Sounds interesting.
It is. All right. If you'd like to know more about 90s vampires, you can figure it out. It's not tough. They're all over the place. All right. Have a good holiday. And here's hoping you don't blow off any fingers.
Yeah.
Or anything else, really.
Yeah.
Keep all your parts.
All your parts.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.